But are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Who was here on Friday night? I really just want to thank you guys. I want to thank, some of them aren't even here tonight, but I want to thank every volunteer. I don't want to single you out or ask who volunteered and who didn't do anything. I really want to honor all of the volunteers who just put in so much effort to make the front area look so warm and welcoming, despite the rain, and not the rain, the wind that sort of threatened, but praise the Lord, there was no rain. But and just for setting up the hall, and for the guys carrying the chairs, and the, you know, all the volunteers at the CD sales and everything. It was just such an effort from the church. So I really want to thank you. The band was just so impressed. Thanks to Tad and the guys for brying. It was amazing. And just you guys, yeah, you guys really blessed the band. And so I really want to thank you. We in the spirit, we made a declaration. Okay, it's not about the numbers and how many people came and a great show that it was. It was truly about Jesus saving lives again, Jesus touching lives, healing us, delivering us, and then just making a declaration in the spirit of what's to come in Bloom. Amen. Because God just showed us what's to come even in our church and all over the city. God wants to do amazing things. So it's the first of many great events that we're going to organize, because I really believe now we're ready for an event of over 200 people. The parking guys were on their spot and they showed the cars how to sort of Tetris in amongst each other, because I realize that we don't have capacity for like 500 people maybe, but we've got capacity I think for 200 or 300 people, but the cars will just have to park all the way down the street if we're going to get up to 500. But praise the Lord, He's doing amazing things. Amen. So just turn to someone next to you and say, let's get excited about tonight. Because we need to sometimes come with an expectation. Amen. Sometimes it's just a word and it falls on our ears, and we, as Micah said, just it's important that we take the word in church and we go and mull over it, okay? On a Sunday night, you'll hear a few things, and if you don't revisit it and meditate on those scriptures, it's actually just going to kind of fall away, okay? Like the seed on the good ground. We need to prepare our hearts and make our hearts good soil, and by doing that, we need to plow it and continually prepare our hearts, because sometimes the word comes and you're not prepared for it, so it's kind of a shock to your system. Some of us are prepared for it, and then it's great. We kind of say, the Lord's saying exactly the same to me. But if the Lord hasn't been saying something to you yet, and you hear this word for the first time, it's important then to go back, to go over the scriptures and say, Lord, show me how to grow in you. Amen. Okay, because I believe at the moment, this is now the second sermon in my series called True Worship. Okay, and I believe at the moment, who of you guys are going through, who of you feel that the Lord is really working with you at the moment? You like, you're sort of going through a few challenges. Come, just put up your hands high, because okay, praise the Lord, right? You guys are in step with God, okay? As the word came a couple of weeks ago from Hercules, we must keep in step with the Lord. And so if you feel like the Lord is really challenging, and you feel like you maybe even a train is hitting you every day because you're just going through stuff, then you're at the right place, okay? Just hold on to your seat. Allow God to continue to work in your life, because that's what He's doing right now. He's cleaning up all our mess. Amen. Do you feel like that? That you sort of, things are surfacing, and the word has come week after week in the intercession now that it's time for us to repent. It's time for us to lay down our sinfulness and our selfish nature. Okay. So if you're at that place, you just hold on and repent and keep surrendering your life to the Lord, okay? Because that's what He's doing with you right now. So don't freak out and think, I'm this terrible sinner. It's great that you know you're a sinner, because the more you realize you're a sinner, the more you'll realize how awesome Jesus is and how He has saved you, okay? And how He's busy working with you. So just stick with us. Last week we talked about true worship not being a place, not being a ritual, not being a feeling. We talked about true worship being a, anyone remember? A revelation of, not just any revelation, a specific revelation of who Jesus is. Like the woman at the well. She had this revelation, and obviously she knew that the Messiah is coming, and she had this expectation. So it didn't catch her too much by surprise, because when she met Jesus, it all made sense. But you see, some of us, we're sort of not really sure, who is Jesus really? We've got this expectation that He's going to change our lives, and yes, He's shown us a certain amount of His goodness, and we're growing into it. But you see, if we don't have an expectation and have this thing of, Jesus, who are you really in my life? Then we often will miss Him, and we'll miss the fullness. And that's why sometimes we worship just out of a ritual, or we worship because it's a Sunday thing to do, or it's the church thing that we've always done throughout our lives. And so tonight I'm trusting that we're going to go a little bit further, because true worship is not only about a revelation of who Jesus is, but part of that is also allowing, then, once you've seen who Jesus is, like the woman at the well, did is to allow Jesus to be who he really is in your life, okay? Because it's all very well to have a revelation of Jesus and saying, great, Jesus, you saved that person and that person, you've healed that person, you've delivered that person, but what about me, Jesus? I don't seem to experience this. And so tonight I trust that we will really see Jesus and get closer to him in terms of who he must be and who he actually is. It's just that we need to give him the space to work in our lives. Amen. Psalm 24, let's read together. From verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5 says, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but who's here has climbed a mountain before? Okay, there are not too many mountains here in the Free State. So you need to go a little bit further. Okay, you need to go to the Drakensberg or Golden Gate or somewhere else, or else down to the Cape. So just come to the conference and take a few days off, and then you can climb some mountains there in Stellenbosch. Okay, I remember climbing one of the mountains in Stellenbosch. I remember climbing a mountain on my farm. I remember going to last year, some of us were on the hike. We went as a church, some of us went to a hike in the Golden Gate Highlands there, and we climbed those mountains. And you know, when you climb a mountain, it's just such an awesome experience. Who would agree with me? It's like you conquer this thing. You've gone up this mountain, and you get to the top, and it's like this amazing experience when you get there. You're like, you just have this view of eternity. You seem to just see forever, and it's like, it's just this feeling of, I want to stay here. I want to be on top of this mountain forever. I want to pitch a tent. Doesn't matter how cold it is, I'll just get the warmest sleeping bags, but I want to be at the top of this mountain, because the experience of overcoming the hill and overcoming just the challenges and the experience of being at the top of this mountain is just amazing. It's an exhilarating experience. And yeah, the psalmist writes, who may ascend into this hill? Who may climb this amazing mountain? Who may stand in this place? And sometimes when you get to the top of a mountain, it's like this holy feeling like, yes, God, you are great. This is like a place of worship in a way, because you stand there, and I'm sure even unbelievers get to the top of the mountain and they must think, but there must be a God out there, you know. There must be a God who's created all of this that I can see. But you see, imagine not ever having that experience. Okay, if some of you haven't had this experience, go and climb a mountain. Do yourselves a favor. But I mean, I would think it's so sad if we weren't able to climb to the top of a mountain and be able to have this mountaintop experience. And the writer here of Psalms says, David writing in this case, saying that it seems like only a certain amount of people will be able to climb into this hill, or climb up this hill, or stand in this place of holiness. And it talks here to me about worship. It talks to me about who can enter into this place of worship, who can have this exhilarating experience of connecting with the only living and awesome God. And then he goes on to say, but the answer is in this: he who has clean hands, secondly, a pure heart, thirdly, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, and fourthly, who has not sworn deceitfully or lied under oath. That's what the last bit there means. These people, if you don't have this, you're not going to be able to get to this awesome place on top of the mountain. And then he carries on, he says, because this place is so awesome, it says he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Isn't that amazing? I want that. I want that blessing of God. I want to know that it's not just an experience, but once you've received righteousness from the God of your salvation, it's not a mountaintop experience. It becomes this lifestyle where you just know you can enter this holy place. You're on this holy place all the time. But why don't we always enter into why don't we remain in this holy place all the time? And I believe it's because we don't fully understand what Jesus has done for us. And that's why worship just becomes a Sunday thing many times. And even here on a Sunday, it seems like, why do we struggle to enter into the presence of God? You know, even tonight, if you ask yourself seriously, were you able to fully connect with God tonight? Were you able to worship him with just abandonment, like Richard said on Friday night? Were you able to worship him like David, where you can run naked and just say, God, I give you my everything. I'm not ashamed to just be vulnerable in your presence. I'm not ashamed to worship you in spirit and in truth. And why don't we often get to this place where we just connect with God in such an awesome way? I believe it's because we don't have a full revelation of the cross of Christ. This morning I had the opportunity, the privilege of preaching at Sudurang Res, and they had a sort of a house church meeting where, you know, it was the first time that the new Harker of Geestelijk was able to organize just a church meeting together. And it was such a privilege to see hearts on fire for the Lord. You know, young people just wanting to serve God. And they packed the place out there, the Gazelle there, and they had praise and worship before the time. And I was so privileged to bring the word this morning. But I said to them, you know, getting together in this place, it's just awesome because the songs they chose were all about Jesus. And I complimented them. I said, whoever chose these songs, it's just so awesome to see that Christianity is getting back to Jesus again. You know, because Christianity can be about a lot of other stuff. We can have great events and great praise and worship where it's all about, you know, the boxes here at the back or whatever. It's all about sort of us and fulfilling our own desires in a way. And I just said to them this morning, it was so awesome to see all those songs were about Jesus, singing just about His glory. And so it was such a privilege to bring the word and to experience. Our hearts were so open to experience Christianity because it's coming back to Jesus again. And I just encourage them to live fully for Jesus because that's all that Christianity is about, is following Jesus. It's not about your sin and your shortcomings and all that stuff. It's just about allowing Jesus to change you. And so it was encouraging for me to see that on campus things are happening. Things are happening. Jesus is moving. God is moving in our midst. And this evening I want us to look at, seriously take a look at, what has Jesus done for us on the cross? What has He really done for us? Because then life starts getting exciting. You see, here in Hebrews chapter 9, it says the following. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer," sounds like a bit of farming happening there, slaughtering and all these things. It says, if these things, sprinkling the unclean, that's now obviously sinful people, sprinkling it. If this stuff sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, that's now talking about the Old Testament, and now they had to make sacrifice after sacrifice. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you'll see it's crazy. I'm just so thankful that Jesus came just on this point, yeah, that we don't have to sacrifice and shed all the blood of animals and do it in, you have to do it perfectly. You can't just now sacrifice there anywhere. It has to be perfectly done according to step by step. I'm not going to go into that now. But the writer is saying, if all of this sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, if this is still okay, if this is acceptable to God, that all these sacrifices having to be made year in and year out, if this is pleasing to God and it satisfies the wrath of God, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He's trying to contrast the Old Testament and saying, listen, yeah, this is what these poor people had to do year in and year out. And the high priest was the only one who was able to go through the veil and put blood on the mercy seat for the sins of the nation. And it pleased God. God was so happy with it. He was fine with it. He forgave the sins of the nation of Israel, and they carried on, and they could have a free relationship with Him. But He's trying to say, how much more then shall the blood of Christ, this perfect spotless lamb, not only cleanse us from physical sin and from dead works, but cleanse our conscience. In other words, it's not just the purifying of the flesh. It's not just making your hands clean. It's also making your conscience and your heart clean from, it's like reformatting a computer. Okay, you've got viruses and you've got so many spots in your mind and in your body, and it's like Jesus coming and saying, listen, yeah, I'm formatting you now. There's no more viruses, no more sin, no more spot, not even the remembrance of it. That is what is possible, and that is what Jesus did for us. Cleanse us from the conscience where we are guilty and focused so much on our sin and our shortcoming. That is what the blood of the Lamb did tonight. The blood of the Lamb has made it possible that we indeed can have clean hands and a pure heart. Isn't that good news for someone this evening? I don't even fully understand this revelation, okay? But this is what the Word says, and we must say, God, what do you really mean by this? Because this is so huge. This is so awesome that your conscience can be cleansed. And I just sense tonight there's some people that are, you are just so conscious of your sin. You're so sin conscious. The past in your life has happened, and yes, you've made mistakes, you've done bad things. But I want to say tonight, the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience. Not only from sin and stuff, but from dead works where you've tried to please God, where you've tried to earn yourself a place in God's kingdom because you've felt so ashamed and so guilty that you try to do stuff to earn Him, to earn His approval. And you know what? The blood has cleansed us from that. It's given us clean hands. And that's what clean hands signifies. It's outward, you know, dirty hands would mean outward sin. And Jesus has cleansed us from all the works that we've done with our hands. And a pure heart simply means It's the inward motives of our heart, the inward motives that are sinful and that have not glorified God. Even that has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. This is awesome news tonight. So the New Testament brings a far greater satisfaction than the Old. Jesus has done it once and for all. When we don't have to, year after year, follow a ritual and follow a high priest and say, please, high priest, just on behalf of myself and my family, just forgive me, please. No. Jesus has done that for us. And we just must walk into that fullness. So yes, you'll still have to sometimes over and over again say to the Lord, there's certain things in my life I give over to you. But the truth is it's done. It's complete. You just need to receive it. And the revelation needs to just grow and grow and grow as you realize that this is what Jesus has done for you. And that's why we don't need to go every year and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. But when God highlights something in your life that's keeping you back from Him, it's so important that you be honest and say, Lord, sorry that I haven't believed that even this sin in my life has been cleansed by your blood. Sorry, Lord. And then you just receive it and you thank Him for it. It's not about being all sin conscious again and confessing your sin and doing a religious ritual. That doesn't please God. He just wants you to be in faith and say, thank you that you've already done it for me, Lord. The second point, Hebrews 10. It carries on. The book of Hebrews is so awesome, talking about this high priest going and making a way for all of us. So not only has He given us the ability to have clean hands and a pure heart, because those are the first two points here. Because remember, I'm talking about who can ascend into the hill of the Lord, who may stand in His holy place, who can worship God in spirit and in truth, who can come before Him. It's He who has been made clean and pure by the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, listen to this. This is so awesome. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Now this scripture comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. Where in the Old Testament already God said there's a time coming when I'm going to put my law in your heart. You know what that means? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. But it's talking about the work of the Spirit that is creating in us a desire to worship God. Isn't that awesome? In other words, we don't have to try to psych ourselves up. Ooh, maybe we'll feel like worshiping God. No, the Spirit of God has been poured out so that this new covenant can come to fulfillment. What is this new covenant? Just simply a desire to worship God. A desire to fulfill the laws that He has put out for us. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. That is such awesome news. We don't have to try to, fill our minds with stuff. We just need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to do this. Because that's what Jesus did. The new covenant speaks of this. And then it carries on to say, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Isn't that awesome? Total forgiveness. Every sin and every thing that you commit, God has already forgiven it. But why do we still walk in the sin? Why do we still have the sin consciousness the whole time? Why do we struggle sometimes to come into the presence of God? You see, I believe that the more you worship God, the more you'll want to worship Him. He's created in you that desire, that seed to worship Him. But you know what? You need to come to that place where you just say, Lord, I exercise this desire now. And you know what? It's the same. It'll just carry on and on. You'll start to get a greater desire to worship Him. And it's the same with reading the Word. The more you read the Word, the more you want to read the Word. And that's why sometimes when you go through a dry patch and you haven't read the Word for a while, you know what? It's easy just to not read the Word. Because the more you don't read the Word, you know what? The easier it becomes not to read the Word. But the more you read the Word, the more you desire. And the more you have a hunger to read the Word of God. Spend a bit of time with William. William has got a love for the Word of God, okay? Because why? It's not, yes, he's got a teaching anointing and he's doing a great job at Bible school and he's very shy now that I'm talking about him. One day he'll be preaching as well. One day he'll be planting a church as well. Just do that construction while you can, William. One day you'll be sent all over the world. No, I'm only joking, if it's God's will. But spend time with people. It's not only William, okay? But just look at people around you that have got a passion for the Word. Why? That passion doesn't just, it's not like, oh, that guy's special. He must have a greater desire for the Word because this is his anointing. No. It's not about the anointing or the gifting on your life. It's about the desire. Do you have a desire for the Word? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? If you do have, you know what? That hunger will just increase. And if you start to read the Word and start to spend time in the Word, The desire in all of us has been created to worship God and to fulfill His laws. But the devil is out there like a roaring lion. So life is not that simple, okay? But yet it is that simple. I want to say that. It's a bit of a paradox. It's not that simple, but yet it is simple, okay? We just need to say thank you to Jesus for what He's done. He's defeated the devil and all his enemies and all his armies. He's defeated them on the cross. And He has created in us the desire. That's the new covenant. The desire to worship Him and to follow His ways. And so what is holding you back tonight? I want to ask you that. What is holding you back? Second last point. Or third, let's make it the third point. This could go on for quite a while. So I'm only starting. I'm only getting warmed up. Just turn to someone next to you and say, are you excited this evening? Are you excited about the Word this evening? Are you excited to walk with Jesus? It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And then it describes this why we can enter. It says, by a new and living way, talking about the new covenant again, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. He made this covenant by tearing the veil, dying on the cross. And when the veil was torn, He said, it is finished, it is done. There's freedom for humankind. There's freedom to enter in. It says, because of all of this, and having a high priest over the house of God, which is Jesus Himself, talking also here about the fact that Jesus didn't only tear the physical veil on earth, but literally went into heaven where no man could enter. No person could enter into heaven until Jesus did it. Because all of us are sinful. All of us stand guilty before God. But because Jesus made a way through the veil in the temple in Jerusalem, but also signifying just the fact that He's made a way into heaven for all of us. And that's why He's the high priest over the house of God. It says the following. Five things here. It says, first of all, let us draw near. In other words, stop having condemnation in your life. Stop having fear about drawing near to God. Because of what Jesus has done, you can draw near to God tonight. So guess what, brother and sister in Christ tonight? You don't have to come in here and first, you know, oh Lord, okay, shucks, my feet are a bit dirty. Let me clean my feet. My knees, I played a bit of rugby today. Let me clean my knees here. Let me wash my body first, Lord. My tongue, God, I just said all these swear words today, Lord. Shucks, I better just stay outside for another 5 minutes and hopefully I'll feel better. or my hair's a bit dirty, Lord. I committed some sins, you know. I'll be sleeping around and all that stuff. No, you don't have to wait outside. Come in. The veil has been torn. The doors are open. And if our church's doors aren't open, there's a problem with us because Jesus has made these doors wide open for anyone to come in. Whether you're the biggest prostitute or the biggest sinner, you must just come in and worship Jesus. Why? Because you can. He's made a way for you. And you will meet Him. So it says, let us draw near. Because of what Jesus done, let us draw near. And obviously there's that place of repentance. I'm not saying, you know, you come and when you encounter God like people did on Friday night, you realize, okay, I need to repent because I don't know this God. And some of us tonight will need to repent because we know about God or we serve this God, but we don't know the fullness of who Jesus is. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. In other words, your heart is clean. Your heart is pure. Jesus has created in you a true heart. Doesn't matter what you have done. There's provision being made for it. And then He says, in full assurance of faith. In other words, knowing that He's done it. Not doubting and thinking, oh, is it for me as well? Is it applicable to me? How many times do I have to do 5 hallelujahs to maybe have this full assurance of faith? No, the Word says you can draw near in full assurance of faith. Then it's number 4, it says having our hearts sprinkled. In other words, it confirms again, you've got a pure heart. It's sprinkled what? From an evil conscience. It's totally clean from all the sins, all the shame. And it also says your bodies have been washed with pure water. Your hands are clean. You can come into the fullness of God. You have clean hands and you have a pure heart. So you can ascend into the hill of the Lord this evening. You can stand in His holy place. Why? Not because you are good, but because Jesus is awesome. And you see, when you get into a marriage relationship one day, you guys will see when you're married. It's so awesome. You can have boldness to share your heart with someone. You can have boldness to just, because you know there's a covenant relationship here. You can have boldness in the relationship that you have with this person. You can share your heart without feeling ashamed. You can be honest with the person. And you know, with Jesus, it's even greater because He's perfect. The marriage partner is not perfect. And sometimes people need to grow into that trust. But I trust that all of us, when we're married, you trust that person. You can share fully. your heart with that person. But with Jesus, we can just be so open and honest before Him. We can have boldness in our relationship with Him. In fact, with the Father. We can have boldness with the Father because of what Jesus has done. And that's why a covenant relationship is so blessed. And marriage gives us that little picture of it. But you know, our covenant relationship with Jesus, because of His blood, is just so much greater than any other relationship we'll have on earth. So treasure that relationship that you have with Jesus. Treasure every moment that you're walking with Him. So not only do we have clean hands and a pure heart, not only do we have the desire created in us to worship Him, not only do we have boldness in our relationship with the Father, but we also have boldness one day when it comes to judgment. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, that's talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The covenant relationship that God created on the cross for us through Jesus, that He made available for us, drives out all fear. His perfect love drives out all fear. And it starts with death itself. It starts with that fear of death. I want to ask you this evening, are you scared of dying? Are you scared of even dying a painful death? That fear in you, the worst fear you can think of, there's provision made for that. Because the perfect love of God will ensure that you get delivered from that fear and delivered from that situation that you may be fearing. You will get out of it and your spirit will be unscathed. Your spirit will not be spotted or blemished at all in that situation. If you really believe. Because why? The love of God has been made perfect, or has been perfected among us through Jesus. Boldness in the day of judgment. Isn't that amazing? To know one day that we'll be able to stand, and it's going to be a fearful time. I don't know. I don't want to be an unbeliever on that day, okay? Because if you don't know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, it's going to be a very scary time. And so there's no time for us anymore to fear, Christians. There's no time for us to fear. Because there's provision made for that. So I want to say, if you've got fear in your life tonight, come and leave it at the cross. Come and say, Lord, deliver me of this. It's not of you. It's keeping me back. And I sense so many people are gripped by fear. Not only fear of judgment day, but you're kind of happy that, you know, you're going to heaven and you're okay with that. But it seems to just be fears of just this life. And are you going to make it in this life? Are you going to be able to pass your exams at the end of the year? Are you going to fulfill your calling? You're so worried that you're not going to fulfill the calling that God has given for you. And the Lord says, just lay that down, because that is what's holding you back from our fullness. It's the fear in you, the fear of not making it, the fear of failure, the fear because you failed in your past. But what does the Word again say? That even that has been done away with. Even your past sins and your fears and your failures. But don't stop walking in faith because of that fear. Don't allow fear to prevent your faith. Listen to this last scripture in Philippians 3. From the New Living Translation. Paul's writing here, and we talked last week about those who worship in spirit and in truth. And I saw the scripture, and it was so awesome. It says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God, in other words, we who worship in spirit, and by implication, obviously, in truth as well, we who worship God by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. Now, Paul is writing there against these Judaizers, because the Judaizers say, no, you've got to be circumcised. You just go through all those rituals, and then you can be saved. The cross is fine, but you've got to add all these things to the cross. And so Paul says, those guys are talking nonsense here. He says, we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. Why? Because circumcision is not a physical thing. It's of the heart. And he says here, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. And so some of us must be honest tonight. How much confidence are we putting in our own effort? How much confidence are we putting in our effort to get to God even? In our effort to walk this walk of faith? How much confidence are we putting in that? And how much confidence are we putting in that even to get saved? Yeah, I must, you know, do this to get saved. I must do that. I must first just cleanse myself first. Then I can actually get into the presence of God. And Paul is writing here, says, we understand what worship truly is. We'll understand that we rely solely on Christ Jesus. Nothing else can be added to what the cross made provision for. And obviously, faith comes when you've got faith, and out of that faith flows good works. I'm not saying there's no good works here. But it talks about good works coming into the presence of God, trying to earn yourself a place, trying to Worship in your own truth and your own spirit. And God just says, just lay that down. Worship me like these people who are truly circumcised. Why? It's because their heart has been circumcised. And Richard talked about that on Friday night. He just said, if God has got your heart, He's got your everything. And so it's so important for us to say, Lord, circumcise our hearts. Change our hearts. Change who we are from the inside. And yes, this afternoon, I had just such an awesome experience with my daughter. Like now, on a Sunday afternoon, the pastor gets a chance to sort of spend time with the kids, okay? So he shouldn't be preparing on a Sunday. He should actually be doing family time and allow his wife, who's been having some sleepless nights and working with the children. So I get a turn now, we don't know when Matthew's going to wake up. So he's sleeping now. So Esther says to me, okay, I just want an hour's sleep because last night was a bit of a rough night and so on. So please, I said 100%, I'll take her for an hour. And if she still isn't sleeping, then, you know, call me and stuff. So anyway, so now, then Matthew now wakes up. And now I'm just getting Caitlin to sleep, then Matthew wakes up. Okay, I'm thinking, oh, now both of them. And then luckily Caitlin sort of went to sleep and then for a while. And then Matthew sort of, we started playing and then I just put a DVD on for him. And then I heard her crying again. So I decided, okay, let me try this method of just holding her close to me, because obviously she just wants some daddy's love now and stuff, and just feel the heartbeat and feel the warmth of my chest. So I decided, I'm sort of also feeling a little bit sleepy, because I didn't have a chance to get an afternoon nap, because I was obviously sudoring from half past 11 till half past 12, and then had lunch, and then my wife goes to sleep. So anyway, so then I just thought, let me just take a little bit of a nap as well, but let me try this. So I'm holding her close to me like this. And then I just like fall back on Matthew's bed and I'm like lying on the bed and I sort of fall asleep. And now she's suddenly sleeping very nicely. So I just sort of like shake her a little bit when she starts crying and then she just sleeps again. And in the end, I was like, I just fell asleep. And yeah, she's sleeping on my chest and everything. And it was such an amazing experience of this little girl. Like just, and I obviously knew she's feeling my heartbeat now. She's feeling just the warmth here and not being put down in a cot just to sleep. She's feeling just the closeness of her daddy. Nothing like daddy's love, eh? And so I'm lying there and I'm just thinking, this is so awesome. And the Lord just reveals to me that this is just what He wants for us, His children. He wants us just to come and lie on His chest. And what does that mean? It means that we're going to hear His heartbeat. We're going to hear what is on His heart. We're going to hear how much He loves us. We're going to experience His warmth and His love and His closeness to us. And then we can just relax and fall asleep and enjoy life. Life is good when there's nothing worrying you. And I mean, the contentment on that little face. I mean, I didn't see her. When Hester came in, I said, come and look at her. She's sleeping nicely now. And so she looks and it's all sweet. And she's just sleeping and can hear her breathing like she's just so content, you know. Just lying on her daddy's chest. And that is what the Father's heart is for us. The Father's heart is that we worship Him in that way where we just come and relax with Him. We come and lie with Him and just enjoy His presence. Enjoy hearing His heartbeat. And His heartbeat, we're going to see what His heartbeat is next week. So come again next week, because it's so important that we also respond to what His heartbeat is. Because His heart is beating not only for us, His heart is beating for the lost out there. His heart is beating for so many more people out there that don't know Him. But He's just a great Father. And He's so excited when His kids come to worship Him like we're doing tonight. And like we did on Friday and like we do every week. But He's also excited when you personally just come to lie on His chest and say, Lord, show me that I need some rest. Now show me that I just need to calm down, because I'm trying to run around. I'm trying to save myself. I'm trying to do all these things for You, Lord. But I want to enter into Your rest today, Lord. So as the band comes forward, let's all stand this evening. Because I believe that we've got to do some surrendering this evening. Some of us need to surrender a few things. And that's what worship is about. I said at the beginning that true worship is about allowing Jesus to be who He is in your life. Let's all stand. Jesus wants to be who He really is in your life and in my life. But in order to do that, we need to surrender and say, Lord, we give You the free rein to be who You really are, Lord. Because You're knocking at the door, like Revelation 3:20 says, I'm knocking at the believer's heart. I'm knocking at every believer's heart and I want to come in and dine with You, have fellowship with You. I want to come in and show You just how much I love You. But you know what? You need to open that door for me. You need to allow me to come in. So in order to do this, opening that door simply means we need to surrender certain things that are holding us back from the fullness of God. So I've put those four things up on the board there, talking about Psalm 20, 24. Let me read that again quickly. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. And then talks about the blessing that comes from that. From entering into this place of holiness, this place of worship with the Lord. But you see, there are four things here that we need to surrender, because Jesus has made provision for this. So I want to say the truth is, you cannot do anything to try and earn this. You just need to accept it, surrender certain things in your life to say, Lord, you have made provision for this. Jesus has made provision for you to have clean hands. In other words, it talks here about surrendering your outward sin. Just saying, Lord, thank you that you've made provision. Thank you that you've cleansed my hands. So I just give away this action that is keeping me back from you. I surrender this outward sin. So whatever it is the Lord is showing you, tonight, as God is dealing with you in your personal life, tonight is just a celebration or a consecration of that and a confirmation of what He's doing. Or else, the second one, you need to surrender inward sin, your motives, or maybe secret sins. Because many times we think our motives are pure, but then when we really go sit at the foot of the cross, we realize our motives aren't that pure. Our motives are we give money just to get back again, or we do a good deed just to say we've done a good deed for the day, like kind of tick your box. It's not out of love for the person or out of real compassion for someone. We'll do a good deed because it's the thing to do. So check your motives and surrender any inward sin that is keeping you back from the fullness of the Father, because Jesus has made provision for it. Surrender all other worship, talking about no idols in your life. In other words, it's actually your soul saying, my soul is crying out to other things at the moment. My soul longs for other things, not for Jesus and the fullness of Him. So there's certain idols in your life, maybe. And then the last one is amazing. It talks about words, the tongue. It talks about speaking lies and deceit, you know, speaking deceit. But I believe it's almost a surrender of the tongue, of the words that you speak. Because many of us speak funny stuff sometimes. And it's just because there's just an open door that God just wants you to close in your life. Maybe you're complaining, or you're always speaking negative stuff, and the Lord just wants you to surrender your tongue tonight. So whatever it is the Lord wants to do in your life, it's important that you ask God, Lord, show me what this is right now. Show me what's keeping me back from worshiping you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your amazing grace on our lives. Thank you that you are in control, Lord, of every hair on our head. You know the number, Lord, of stuff that we can never count or we can never imagine, Lord. You know everything, God. And thank you that you're giving us the grace as a church, even in this time, to go through stuff, Lord, to let the muck surface, God, as the gold is refined, God. All the particles are coming to the fore, and all the mess is coming out, and we thank you for it, Lord. It's terrible to look at it, God, because we cannot believe sometimes that our lives are in such a mess, but we thank you that you are busy with us. We celebrate, Lord, the fact that you want us to be a pure and a holy bride for you, Lord. And so I thank you for all our obedience tonight, Lord. Everyone who's sitting here, Lord, to be obedient to what you're saying tonight and to surrender certain things tonight to allow you to purify us as your bride, Lord. Thank you that we can be your bride. Thank you that you love us too much, Lord, to keep us the same. You don't want us just to stay the same, Lord. You want to change us, Lord, into your image, from glory to glory to glory to glory. We praise you tonight, Jesus.